Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's DRIZLY.com today.
The band that you're about to see has been great since they all came together about an hour ago.
Hold on! Even though standing behind me is what you would call a super group,
you're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network, where everything is grouped by how super it is.
Forgot my six-string razor and hit the sky. Halfway to Memphis before I realized. When I phoned the information, my axe was cold. They said you ride the train.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined, as always, by the multi Loose Cannon. Loose, how are you tonight?
I'll tell you after we drink our beer of the week.
we got a doozy this week, don't we?
We really do. We got a curveball thrown at us, and
people are starting to pay attention.
At this point, I'm not sure if we're going to continue this promotion.
are our people.
They are our people. But we'll go into the beer of the week and what the donation has bestowed us. Is that proper grammar?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think they've usurped us a beer.
Yes, they've definitely usurped us something. I don't know.
Anyway, so continue. What you got? I am excited for the second episode in a row. I have gone in here just like our audience. Well, actually, the audience probably knows more because they see the title of the episode. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the theme. Please, where are we going?
Well, Luce, like last week, I touched on something that was very near and dear to my heart, which is how much I fucking love cover tunes. Good, bad, I just want more.
Sure.
Don't write new music. Just cover something that's already out there.
Yeah.
You also know that I'm a huge fan of anything that gets called a supergroup, regardless of its members. So today we are featuring supergroups. And unlike last week, when I stuck to a strict definition, we are going to use anything that constitutes a supergroup. I don't know. Did you see the Facebook post that I had of Ripper Owens' new supergroup?
Rupert Owens?
Ripper Owens.
Oh, I thought you meant Rupert, the singer of Baker Street. No?
No, he wrote Margaritaville.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
But who's Ripper Owens? So Ripper was the replacement in Judas Priest.
Yeah, he had a pretty good run there. I mean, it wasn't real short. It was close to 10 years, but yeah, he did a couple records with him, so.
Right, and our favorite movie rock star is based off of him. I mean, that's pretty much his claim to fame, is that?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. No, I did not. I actually did not. Amazingly so, Facebook thinks I want to read every one of your fucking posts, so it puts it in my feed, but I did not see this one.
Well, let me just share the lineup, okay?
Okay, go
this
ahead.
This is the super lineup. Okay, Ripper Owens is joined by Rudy Sarzo, James Kotak. Do you know who he is?
No. Keep okay. Going.
Some guy named Teddy Zigzag and Kerry Kelly. That is a lot of not super in a super group.
I don't even think that's a mediocre group.
Yeah. So, and, you know, one of my articles that I'm very proud of was the one where I broke down what does and does not constitute a supergroup. And you need to hit a 3 on the super point average scale, and they don't even hit a 1. When your biggest star of the band's claim to fame is that he replaced Rob Halford. You're not super.
No. I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, so Rudy Sarzo has been in like 19 bands, right?
Yeah, Eric Miller. Maybe we need to go back to things Eric Miller said on Facebook. He chimed in with, "Congratulations, Rudy Sarzo. You've just joined your 100th band."
That's pretty good. Can't you see it like when you're the 100th customer or the 1 millionth customer and all the confetti comes down?
It's funny you say that. He has a little gif there that goes with the best confetti falling over the word congratulations.
See, yeah. I need to keep up.
So that's today's theme. We're going to be playing songs that, they'll all be good songs by bands that their degree of super may vary a little bit, but we're just going to go ahead and call them fucking all supergroups.
I hear you. And the thing about it, too, is that I think one of the qualifications of a supergroup is if you list off who's in it, you should be able to identify all of them.
Yeah, at least right? 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that what it is? Okay, 3 out of 5.
You can have one member that nobody knows, and if there's 4 members total, you have to know 3. If there's 5, I think you have to know 4.
Okay. I'll give you an example. The Traveling Wilburys.
Super.
Super.
If Jeff Lynn is the least famous person in your band,
right,
it's fucking a super group.
Right. And I didn't know who Jeff Lynn was back in the 80s because I didn't know ELO or anything like that. But yeah, exactly. Like, that was the least known person, and it's still a known person.
Yeah.
So, got it. That would be qualify as super group. Would Contraband be a super group?
Contraband was a supergroup at the time. I think I said they were a who's who at the time, and now they are a who's who of who's that. The star power declined. The only unknown person in that band was the singer Richard Black from Shark Island, but the rest of them were all pretty heavyweights. Maybe the bass player from Vixen wasn't necessarily a household name, but she was in Vixen at a time when Vixen was at their peak. And then what it was, Blotzer on drums, Tracy Guns on guitar, and Michael Schenker on guitar. Who was the bass? Oh, Vixen Girl on bass. So,
you know who we've missed on this show is Blotzer.
Oh, I know. He's been so quiet.
I know. I mean, he was in the running of our Vince Neil or our whatever, like our,
come on,
our spirit
Bobby.
Animals. Come on, Bobby. Come on back. I mean, he was a source of material for at least.
You know what Bobby needs to do?
What?
Is find some fucking cover band in Vegas and call them Contraband and go on tour.
That's what he needs to do. Bring it back. But it's just him, right?
Yeah,
just
do like one of those experience. Play the album in sequence tours. Well, let's before we get too far into the show, let's take a second and get into this week's Buy Us a Beer purchaser. This week it comes from I don't know, frequent nonsense contributor to the Facebook page. he seems to like what we do and has a lot of fun at our expense, and so I appreciate that. Ross Feikart, if I'm saying his name right, he got us. Do you want to tell people what he made us walk into a liquor store and purchase?
Yeah. First off, Ross, what have we done to you? What is there some old? Are you some like nemesis from my past that's come into play and slowly worked your way into the fold? Because do you want me to start with my experience and we'll reveal what we had to purchase first, or do you want to go with yours?
You go first. Go ahead.
Why don't we just kind of compare? Because I have a little bit more than what happened to me at the store as well. But you want to just say what it is first and kind of go from there.
Like,
you know what?
Our buddy Ross, he ponied up the money, and he said, you guys are drinking Colt 45 tonight.
That's right. So did you have, first, did you, was it easy for you to find on your end?
Surprisingly, no. I was like, I go to Total Wine, I'm looking everywhere, and they don't have it, you know? And so I actually had to go to like a little mom and pop liquor store, and they only had the 40s, man.
Oh,
I'm drinking
God.
This thing out of a brown paper bag. Oh, which seems the way it's supposed to go. But this
thing
is huge.
Hold on for a second. You tell me that Total Wine didn't have it?
Yeah, the, apparently they don't sell malt liquors at all.
Racist.
Yeah, that's what
yes,
I'm saying.
Me. Anyway, well, the guy at the checkout counter can't have a conversation about, oh, I see you have Colt 45.
Have you tried Steel Reserve?
That's right next to this. Steel Reserve.
It really was Steel Reserve next to yours because it was mine.
Right there.
And Steel Reserve was sold out. I was hoping it was a can of Colt 45 so I didn't have to drink 40 ounces of this shit.
Can I have recommend, if you had had trouble trying to find it at the mom and pop store, I would have recommended you actually just find any hobo on the street who would have had it right in their little shopping cart. Just that's a little tip for the audience.
I'd like to talk to the guy who sold it to me and like see if he like read me in the situation at all. Like, you know, you're clearly bathed and you don't look like you're homeless. You maybe could shave, but
and you have a car.
You have a vehicle outside and you don't seem hammered.
So it's not,
that was
it's
my
not
experience. Thank you, Ross. I'll
It was, hold on, he's buying this and it's not 10:01 in the morning. We just opened.
He wasn't waiting for me to unlock the door.
That's right, exactly. Like, hold on for a second. But can I tell you what I told the person at the counter when I walked up with it? Because it was just that.
But of course, yeah, that's all I bought too.
Okay. Okay. So I walk up to the counter and I just go, I looked at him. He goes, he's like, is that it? And I go, I just looked at him. I didn't say anything. I go, I said, I lost a bet. That's what I said.
Oh,
and
my God.
And he didn't even acknowledge. He goes, uh-huh. And he just rings me up, takes my $3 and I walk out. $3 for this thing. I didn't get a 40 though. I got a, what do you call them? Silos? What do you call them?
Yeah, silos.
So,
let's take a swig. You want to, digging. I don't think I've had this. The last time I did, I don't think I was old enough to drink.
I have seriously never had this. But can I tell you why I was a little excited though? Because the liquor store that I go to, they have a promo. They this time though were actually promoting Colt 45.
No way.
Yep, I go there and the beer guy. Do you know who the beer guy was? Billy D. Williams.
Well, it's good he's staying busy.
But he signed it. He signed it, and it just says Lando.
Nice.
It's pretty cool, though. Perfect timing there. But you want to crack this bitch open or what?
Yeah, let's get this over with. Let's see what we
okay.
got here.
Jesus Christ. Okay, here's the sound of Colt 45, which is
oh,
the sound
my
of,
Lord.
But hold on. You want to hear the sound of despair? And you know your life is over when you're opening this up? Here we go. Hold on. Now, realize somebody must have made this at some point and said, this works. This we will be able to sell. Hold on, Rick. I might have to have a lozenge after this.
Are you drinking it out of a paper bag? I am.
This is actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, it has a... You know, Mickey's is the only malt liquor I've ever really purposely drank.
Yeah.
But,
I will tell you that I thought this
was going to
be...
I can finish this.
I thought this was going to be much worse. Let me see what the color of this is. I got to pour it in a glass.
Yeah. Maybe not. Oh, boy.
Hold on. Okay, so when you pour it out, it actually looks...
It's
it mysteriously
amber.
Looks like a Coors Light when
no,
you pour it into a glass.
No, it's darker than Coors Light, man.
Yeah, you're right. It's a little bit darker.
I'm an expert.
That's odd that it's malt, and it actually does look like
what
beer,
is the
though.
Alcohol content on this fucker? Do you got the...
Mine says on the side, it just says, does it really fucking matter you're drinking this?
Mine doesn't. Are you still having a hard time seeing?
it actually
like
does
my
not
computer
have.
Monitor seems dimmer right now.
It says the IBUs of this is just despair.
Mine says, what do you care? You live on the street.
What's the matter with alcohol content is?
Oh, fuck you, Ross. This is awesome. Thank you. Like I said, apparently people are getting... We may have opened up something that is going to be a lot of fun for other people, not us so much. But you know, my bottle is a self-cooling bottle in the wintertime. All right, Ross, thank you. If you're listening and you're thinking, I'd like to fuck with these guys or maybe buy us something we'd enjoy, you too can go to our crowdfunder and just for $5, we'll drink whatever you pick, and the money will go to keeping the just our basic show costs. So
that's right. So you just go to our Facebook page. You can find the link there, or you can go to GoFundMe.com/CobrasFire. There's not an and there, just Cobras Fire.
All right, let's kick off a song and come back and start talking some shit about Ross.
Tell you, as far as supergroups go, this is one of the only ones, because I'm not a big supergroup fan at all, just like you aren't too, right? There's very few times it works. Is that kind of your
theme? Yeah, fair enough, you know, and even when they are good, they don't last, and I don't know, but it's
right.
I wish it was more like side projects sometimes, like they're just doing a one-off thing.
When you first heard about the concept of Chickenfoot, did you think it was going to be good? I kind of had my hopes for it, but what did you think? Like when you heard the first song, or
I had my hopes up, yeah, because you know I like Sammy as a singer and a songwriter, and you know,
sure.
Satriani was my only concern; just not sure how he'd fit in a band.
Yeah, I thought he always played for the song. I think it's shocking the fact that that guy has never been in a band ever, in some shape or form, except for Chicken Foot before or after.
He wasn't in Whitesnake.
That was his prodigy, right? Yeah. Steve Vai? Yeah.
Everybody's been in Whitesnake is a joke there.
Yeah, well, I hear you there. But yeah, man, I mean, I have to say that that band exceeded my expectations. I really enjoyed both albums as a whole. And yeah, that's definitely an exception to the rule for supergroups. So
cool.
What else you got?
Well, we played the new Judas Priest song a while back, and is the album out yet or not? I think it's coming out sometime soon. I'm not sure.
No, it's still not out, which is, I think they really led this up too long.
Yeah, that seems to be the trend anyway.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Glenn Tipton not being able to tour because of Parkinson's? It sounds like he was diagnosed a while back.
Yeah, and I need you to clarify this for me. Now, okay. Glenn was on the album, he just won't be able to tour, man. Do I have that right?
Correct. You know, KK quit a while back.
Right, and KK was replaced by the young man.
Yeah.
In comparison. Yeah, okay. So continue, please.
Yeah, let me, there's something that he had some comments. I'm talking about Glenn, and I want to get into that a little bit, but I thought I'd back it up and just kind of go over a little bit of a timeline, a fairly recent timeline with Judas Priest.
Sure.
In 2005, there was when they reunited with Rob Halford, and it was basically the classic lineup. They've always had kind of that Spinal Tap drummer situation going on, but so they do that Angel of Retribution record, go on tour, and then for some reason,
yep,
they did that Nostradamus concept record, which...
Right. I mean, that was the album when they were added to thesaurus.com, I believe.
Pretty much. That was actually around the time I started questioning how smart Halford was, because I'm like... He just sounds articulate. I don't know that he actually says smart things.
As long as you throw an English accent on it, we would sound smart.
Yeah, a proper, not a thick Birmingham accent like Ozzy has. No one ever claimed Ozzy sounded smart.
No.
Anyway, I started, you know, whatever. I made the point there. They of course have a live album, which then the Grammys finally give them a Grammy for an old as fuck song that they on the live record.
Which one was that?
Dissident Aggressor. I read Wikipedia today, so that's how I know that. Anyway, they did the Epitaph tour. They announced the Epitaph tour, which is going to be their farewell tour. They are done. And then about a month later, they're like, "Well, we're not really done. We're just not going to tour."
When was that 2000?
The end of 2010, and then about a month later, they clarified and said, "We're just not going to tour anymore. This is going to be the last tour." Something happened. I have never really got a straight story, but KK Downing quit the band in April 2011, and it was not on good terms. And Richie Faulkner replaced him, and by the way, added new life to the lineup.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I need like that one.
Every interview.
And, you know, let me ask you this. Did you know they played on American Idol with current Quiet Riot singer James Durbin?
Am I supposed to know that? No, I did not know
that. Jesus, I was like, really? Everybody did fucking American Idol.
Wait. They played on it with him singing?
Yes. I don't know.
Okay, so that was like the... What did Kiss have? That Andy Lambert guy?
I don't even remember.
Who knows? Yeah. I blocked it out. Continue.
Anyway, so then in 2013, Halford's like, "Psych, we're not gonna give up touring. We're gonna keep doing it." And I think the Redeemer of Souls was their next record, and and now they're working on Firepower. That's a new album coming out. And which brings us to Glenn Tipton. He's not going to make this tour due to complications from Parkinson's. It sounds like he was diagnosed about 10 years ago. And Andy Sneap, the producer, is how I know him anyway, is going to replace him on tour. And apparently he was also a producer on that record. So here's what I want to talk to you about. Glenn made a point of saying that he is still a member of the band despite his illness. He just won't tour. And not to make light of Parkinson's or what he's going through, this is obviously not good news, but it's something you can understand why he would step away. But as far as being in the band, but not touring. I mean, at this point, isn't that the bulk of the job? These guys are in their 60s. I'm just, at what point do you just say, fuck, man, it's time to step away?
Right. So, I mean, he has Parkinson's, unfortunately, and touring is pretty much what you do at this point. You know, you have the album, and he was on the album.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He was on the album. I think he's basically salty, and it is a very unusual thing, the fact that Andy Sneap is now going on tour with him. And actually, it was similar to the whole Rob Caggiano thing with Volbeat. He produced him, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's in the band. He didn't kick anybody out, but I'm sure he's a little salty about that. He worked with a guy, the producer.
Well, I think he picked him.
He specifically picked Andy Sneap?
Or asked him or something like that, yeah.
Interesting.
He was involved in that. I don't think there's any chippiness internally with him on this. I'm like, you have Parkinson's. You're in your late 60s. Touring is really the only aspect of your job that takes up any time. It seems like a difference without distinction to say, but fear not, fans, I'm not quitting Judas Priest. Well,
how about this then? You know, the whole KK and Glenn, the guitar duo thing, that's like legendary.
Yeah.
Okay, so now...
It's Richie and Andy.
Exactly. So it's Richie and Andy. So maybe even it's a... You know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but it almost might be a PR thing saying, hey, maybe I'll show up on stage at some point, or I'm still in the band, or at least giving, because that's a huge part to have both of those the original guitarists out of the band now. I don't know.
I think it's huge. Yeah, you're down to Rob and Ian Hill, the bass player. But, I mean, they are teasing that Glenn Tipton is going to play a couple songs at a couple shows, but who knows? You know what I mean? The semantics, what you call it, I really don't care. You have the right to call it Judas Priest. It doesn't mean shit to me. People who have a big issue with that stuff, just don't go. I mean, right. I'll share my thoughts on it. I think it's bullshit to call it Judas Priest, but not my call.
Well, yeah, I mean,
a little different because it's not like they're choosing this path. It's, you know, they're not fighting, you know.
But at the same time, I mean... It was only half of the duo before, and I wasn't even thinking about it. It's just maybe because just at least one of the guitarists. I don't know. I still would like to see it because I definitely want to see Halford's trench coat and see if he has the thesaurus inside of the sewn into the inside.
Oh, you know that fucker's in there.
You know what's in there? It's just, you know how some people, they have teleprompters. He just uses his coat. He just looks in there. Anytime he forgets the lyrics, but I don't know. I mean, it is odd. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you want to say about that. I thought the press release was definitely odd reading it.
Yeah, and it, look, I don't know what you do in that situation, but it did seem almost terse.
I do have a question for you. Which is your favorite album by them? I know you're not a huge – I don't think you're a huge fan.
I'm a decent-sized fan. Okay. Defenders of the Faith, probably. Defenders are screaming, one of those two.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. So which of those The Defenders, that is one that I've never really listened to. I've listened to a bunch of them, but what's like your top track on that? If I was going to jump into it,
their Free Will Burnin's on there. Heads Are Gonna Roll is on there.
Is there a song about leather on there?
I don't remember for sure. Okay, Jawbreaker's cool. Eat Me Alive. In the Dead of Night, Love Bites, I believe, is on there. So,
okay, a lot of biting. Breaking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but back to the Cobras and Fire Hard Left. As you know, Ron Keel, him and I are basically BFFs now.
Yeah.
You know, we talk and text more than people know.
Sure.
Actually, probably just as much people. Anyway, he shared what I'm going to, for the sake of today, we're going to call it a supergroup. I don't typically give a shit about these things. I'm really unimpressed by them more or not. But I know you've heard it, and it's Rat and Marvin Gaye. My Lord, this should not sound as good as it does. Lewis, I know you've heard that, but typically I these things do nothing for me. I'm unimpressed. I'm like some guy with a pitch shifter and too much time in his parents' basement. Thank you, Michael Brandvold.
I don't have a friend.
No doorbell ringing. No doorbell ringing.
Yeah, no. Plenty of time when nobody's ringing the door at your house. This mashup, it shouldn't be as good as it is. It really is impressive.
A couple things real quick. Usually mashups, they, like you said, like somebody's in the basement, they just got done masturbating to a sock, and then they realize during this activity that the beats per minute, not the beats that they were doing to themselves, but the beats per minute of two songs are the same, and they mash them up. Isn't that pretty much what a mashup is?
Sometimes,
like?
Yeah. I mean, there's a little more into it than, but sure. I'm like, what do you guys expect? I'm not even that surprised when something like this happens, you know? I mean, sometimes I hear a song in another song, and they really aren't that much alike. I hear a little bit of Walk This Way in Paradise City, but the songs really don't sound alike. That's kind of what I mean.
I love it because all it is just the instrumental track of Round and Round and straight up a cappella Marvin Gaye doing Grapevine, which the funny thing is, and the terrible thing about that is that those goddamn California Raisins ruined this song. Do you remember that in the 80s?
True story. The guy who gave my wife away at my wedding, so he's a close friend of the family, thought that was their song.
He thought the California Raisins sang it? Like, he thought that these little...
Well, he thought it was, like, written for this cartoon, you know? Like, he didn't know it was an actual song that they were taking. He also thought Smash Mouth was the first person to do I'm a Believer, so...
Oh, my God, he's dumb.
Or, and by the way, not Smash Mouth. I mean, he's like, yeah, like that Shrek.
Right, but is he a bassist or something?
Yeah. No, he's just from Minnesota.
Okay. But yeah, so the thing I think is very interesting is that the cadence of Marvin Gaye singing is the same cadence of Stephen Pearcy's vocals in Round and Round. If you match them up, if you listen to it side by side, which is amazing that this guy even thought of this to begin with. And the thing I think is very interesting is the fact that the theme of Grapevine is very similar to the lyrics of Round and Round, where it's about, you know, just basically heartbreak, things like that. General songs, things of a rock song, but somehow that in itself matches the song really well. I fucking love it. I've listened to this like 10 times in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it is amazing. I've played it for people too. And when they don't get it, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Listen to this.
I haven't even heard of this. Like, the internet is usually a place of so much hate. The internet has actually done a positive thing with this song. But not only that, you go to YouTube comments. YouTube comments are the most racist, stupid, most ignorant things. I went through like 100 comments underneath his YouTube thing, and every single one is saying this is amazing. This guy, to put it in perspective, on his YouTube page has made like 20 mashups, and all the other ones are not good. So somehow he just like fell into this. They're all like kind of generic.
There's, well, good for him. It's a nice gift for us.
It really is. I we can go on and on about a mashup, but it is very rare that you hear this and you're like, that is perfect. You know what I mean?
You and I, maybe we should come up with some ideas for mashups. What about Men Without Hats?
Once upon a time, not so long ago. Tommy used to work on the docks. Union been on strike. He's down on his luck. It's tough. So tough.
Well, actually, I'll see if I can throw some your way. We'll see if we can do a whip it with a Round and Round.
Yes. Safety dance with Wanted Man.
Oh, my God. We can make some abominations.
Oh, yeah, it would be fun. Yeah, maybe that's our new niche. We should just become the mashup show. So, yeah, I mean, I wonder if that guy's making any money off that or not. I mean, these are licensed songs, he can't, right?
No, the only thing that he would make money on is the – I don't think you can. I don't think you can actually do the YouTube ads on top of something that's somebody else's intellectual property.
They would get the ad money, right? It's a fucked up world, man. You can't steal music like you used to.
Again, Cobra hack, steal music.
These damn people stealing music online. That's why concert tickets are $90.
That's right. Is that your Ulrich impersonation?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, people out there downloading me, stealing music. Yeah.
The good Lord must have heard my prayer.
I've been doing all the talking, Lewis. What do you got?
You want to do a quick Cobra hack?
Of course not.
Why? I can't do another. Oh, I just want to give a little helpful information for our listeners.
Okay, go ahead.
So what anniversary did you celebrate most recently?
It was our 10th.
10th, okay. Well, so you're coming up on your 11th anniversary. And according to Wikipedia, the 11th anniversary, the traditional gift, is jewelry. Were you aware of this?
Of course.
Okay. Okay. So here's a quick Cobra hack for your lady. Again, we respect the ladies. Mm-hmm. And you want to get your toots some nice jewelry for the anniversary, but you don't have the funds. So here's how to get free jewelry. Are you ready?
Free jewelry. This sounds good.
You must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any stunt or activity performed on this show.
Free jewelry, Cobra hack. So all you need is a cement block and a complete lack of a conscience, and you just throw that through. Let's say you roll into a nice expensive neighborhood, you go into the backyard, you throw the cement block through the window, you crawl through that back window, guarantee there's some jewelry in that room. Take that, and you're all set. There's your Cobra hack of the week.
That sounds an awful lot like a B&E.
No, it's a Cobra hack.
You must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any stunt or activity performed on this show.
What? Do you got any other good Cobra hacks? Like, ask your friend if you can borrow his car and then drive around neighborhoods stealing Amazon packages off of porches.
You must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any stunt or activity performed on this show.
Well, you know, people have home security cameras. They don't want to see your car.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, just keep stealing packages. Put on...
Wear his clothes. If you have a friend with a similar body build as yours, ask if he can borrow his car to run up to the store quick, and then just kind of like follow the UPS van through a neighborhood.
Is the Damn Things really a super group, though?
I think so. I mean, I don't know, the skeleton of Doug Pinnick standing next to Ray Luger and George Lynch counts. They definitely do.
I'm saying for your definition, though, you've got.
Oh,
Scott
for my definition,
Ian.
No. So let's rank them, okay? Let's just do it quick. Scott Ian, what do you give him in his genre? He's got to be at least a what, 3.3?
Yeah, no, he qualifies.
No, but let's give him a number. Is he a because it's
out of five?
No. It's like a GPA, like a zero.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's between a 3 and a 4. I'll give him a 3.3. He's like a B student.
Okay, so we got Rob Caggiano.
He's like a 1 at that time.
Okay, probably still, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know who the singer is, so I'm just gonna.
He's
write...
some guy from some screamo band. That's a 0, and the other two guys from.
No,
Fall
he
Boy,
gets at least a 1.
Sure.
Yeah, the Fall Out Boy the members that
two
nobody knows, so they gotta what
right.
be like 2s.
Isn't like the drummer and the bassist or some shit?
The drummer and the guitar player.
Oddly,
in Fall Out Boy, their bass player, who doesn't, I'm not even sure he actually plays, is their most famous member, Pete Wentz. And then there would be the singer. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But anyway, we got the drummer and guitar player. What do we give them? 2s? So we got 2, 4, 6, 7.3 divided by 5. No, they do not pass the SPA standard that I invented.
No,
although we can take the singer out and divide it by 4, 6.5, it still doesn't hit.
Yeah, 2 guys from Anthrax, 2 guys from Fall Out Boy, and a singer that I had never heard of before that band. That is had just as much chance of being good as the Marvin Gaye and Rat mashup.
Yeah, I was probably equally surprised. I was like, this record is amazing. I only bought it because I bought it for my stepdaughter because she was into Fall Out Boy, and I was just like, yeah, I'll just throw her
whatever.
A bone. She'd been a good kid, you know. Here you go, you know. And then I'm like, this is my favorite album of all time.
Yeah, it is. It is excellent. Hopefully, they are back at some point.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? But again, I'm okay with the one and done on these things. You know, I mean,
that's true. Do you mind if I just kind of go through some, at least a few supergroups that I was like, what, why?
Yeah, kinda, absolutely. Kinda let's get into that drink.
Okay, good. Them Crooked Vultures.
Left.
So it sounds like the Winery Dogs are pretty high on your list of favorite bands.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really cool that that all those guys got together. And I think, maybe I have my notes wrong, but was Eddie Trunk involved in with them at all?
If it involves Mike Portnoy or himself, Eddie is involved.
Yeah, there's another guy. Mike Portnoy has been... he was in Dream Theater... What's the saying go? He was in Dream Theater for 20 years, and since then he's been in 20 different bands.
I was just going to say something just like that. Yeah, he had like one gig forever, and then like got into a pissing contest with, I don't know, over something. I think he wanted to take a break, and they didn't want to, is the story. But and now since then, he's basically been in like 80 bands. How is it that him and George Lynch haven't been in a band together?
That is true. Like, but him, he either has to be... have ADD or the most annoying drummer of all time, because he has just moved from place to place. He's either, I don't know. But he was like I don't know if he toured with them. He was with Avenged Sevenfold on their Nightmare album. That's where I remember.
Yeah, and it seemed like they thought they wanted to get rid of him. Like their drummer died and he filled in. And then it seems like they kind of got the vibe that he thought he was going to be the new drummer. And they were, look, we just wanted you to help us on tour. And that kind of ended kind of weird.
It probably was like something like, first off, you're 20 years older than us.
Yeah.
Two, you don't shop at Hot Topic. So you're out of the band. That's pretty much the requirements for them, I think.
Yeah, and then he filled in for Twisted Sister after the AJ Perro died. I saw him whatever that Rock Timber deal.
Man, I didn't even know that. So he's been all over the place. But anyway, so Portnoy's in there. Then you got who's the bassist for Mr. Big and
Billy Sheehan.
All I know is that every Winery Dog song I've heard, every single person in there is overplaying. Every single one. Like, the bass is... Have you ever made it through any Winery Dog song? Yes or no?
No, I'm not a fan. A lot of people really like this, but to me, the people that really get into this, and I don't mean someone who says they like it. I'm just saying someone that talks about, like, this is the band you need to listen to. These are the same people that tried to convince me Sonic Boom is good.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, they push the bar pretty low on what's worth getting into.
It's about that, but it's the same kind of thing. Like anything that somebody... I don't know. But supergroups, that's the problem. A lot of times people overplay, and that's what I say, is that's an overplaying band.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know
so
who's
anyway,
not? That actually was a good fit that... for me, I don't. We've talked about him a little bit. Unless you want to elaborate more. But Audioslave was the best parts of Rage Against the Machine with a singer, and I thought it worked brilliantly. Canon, it would not be a Cobras and Fire episode if we didn't try to milk a little drama out of the Kiss camp, would it? No.
Uh-uh. No.
Gene's been the giver lately, but I know you saw this. Paul Stanley has chimed in. with a little bit of classic Paul Stanley bitterness. Live to win till you die. He's getting salty.
Yes, he lives to win and to be angry all the time.
Live to win and be bitter. Be upset over petty shit. Don't let go of anything that's bothering you. Oh,
this is a good song. I think winning is him just getting the last word.
Yeah, my God, he's winning like Charlie Sheen was.
He really is. He's got tiger blood flowing through his veins.
So Gene was throwing one of his vault parties, and he was talking about how he wrote the song It's My Life. He actually credited Paul with some part of it and then said then he kind of came in. I don't remember exactly how Gene said, but Paul,
it's like saying it was a part of some other song and they put them together and merged them.
Right, yeah, something along that line. So you can go out and find it easy enough. Right. But Paul, of course, you know, because he doesn't care about this stuff. Live to win till you die. You know, heard about it because he's probably constantly watching all the fucking Facebook Live videos of the 50 people at every vault party.
Can I give you a setup here though, too, Baco?
Sure.
That right before he tweeted, can I give you the environment? What was happening in Paul's life?
Yeah, what was going on with Paul at that moment?
Okay, so he woke up that morning and took a shower and you know used lots of different scented body lotions and things like that and got himself all ready to go. Oh, there you go. Yeah, the bath bombs. He loves bath bombs. He wrote a song about bath bombs, didn't he? With John Mayer,
co-wrote a bath bomb song.
Yeah, sure. So anyway, so he gets all that done with that and everything, and he smells like eucalyptus, and then he walks up to a painting of himself and is staring at it. And he's just there with all of his glory and everything, and the sun is shining in. And
now, is he nude or is he wearing a robe?
Oh, he's definitely wearing a robe. Okay. He's definitely wearing a robe. And everything, and then all of a sudden he hears Gene's little thing.
Okay.
And it sets him off into a complete star child tizzy. And what does he do? He picks up his phone and does what, Baco?
I like, in my world, he sits down on a PC and tweets.
Oh, you think he's old school?
Yeah. He just got done, you know, French pressing some coffee, and he's like, time for some tweets.
French pressing, it's Folgers 24/7 in the Paul Stanley household. Don't get your facts wrong, Baco.
All right, so he leads off.
So he's on his swing.
With his laptop.
He's on his laptop. No, I think it's better with your PC idea than he's got. He still doesn't have one of those flat screens.
He's still using AOL. So he sits down at his PC with a cathode ray tube monitor, and he's ready to basically strike back in a way that only the Star Child can. And so his first tweet leads off with, "For anyone it matters to, the song It's My Life had nothing to do with any other song of mine. I wrote the title, chorus, chords, melody, and lyric to It's My Life and didn't want to use it at the time. Gene wanted to use it, so he wrote the rest. That's the story at Ultimate Classic Rock. Live to win till you die." I love that he says Gene wrote the rest. Let's just recap what Paul wrote. He wrote the title, the chorus, the chords, the melody, and lyrics. What's left?
Hold on for a second. Title, chorus, chords, melody. According to my Minnesota math, this comes up to an entire song. Live to win
till you die. That doesn't sound like a guy correcting the story. That is a guy saying, fuck you, lying fucking piece of shit. Quit fucking telling people you did anything.
It's his life.
Okay. It is his life. Anyway, what do you got?
It is his life. Can I give you my opinion on this matter, Baco?
Absolutely. Drink.
Gene Simmons' experience, his family jewel show, all this stuff like that, all this is a reminder, a nightmare for Paul for when Gene got in the spotlight in the 80s and did all these things that, quote, took away from the quality of his work. And this is when he was putting out songs like My Way and things like that. If you look at the caliber of songs between Paul and Gene during the 80s, it's not that much different. percentage-wise.
It's definitely not the way Paul portrays it, where Gene was basically just asleep at the wheel while Paul was, you know, writing every hit song for Bon Jovi, you know.
Right. I mean, it's, he definitely put out some shit. But anyway, the point is that he's just mad when he gets more attention. Period.
Yeah, this is a guy who's still pissed off that someone talked to Gene Moore in an interview in 1982 when Paul did all the work.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's always that petty bullshit. This, the fact that Gene is going around with this, this experience and getting all this press right now, and that Kiss is... Are they on tour right now? Are you doing any dates?
It sounds like they're done.
What, you mean the end of the road thing?
Yeah. Did you hear that too? That like Gene didn't even know Paul trademarked that?
No, I did not know this. Oh. I just knew the fact that there was the end of the road thing. And are you making a joke or is
no,
this
true? No, this is Gene said that at one of the Vault things. He's like, I hadn't heard that. And then he,
I thought it would be Gene that did it because he does the whole thing with the devil horns and.
Oh, I know, yeah. I mean, but the idea that they're not even on the same page. And now the new thing going around today is the latest Gene Simmons Vault video has footage of Eric Singer talking about, hey, I was at the Vault. It was this cool thing or whatever. And underneath it says former Kiss drummer Eric Singer. And this is from Gene Simmons' Vault page.
So that was a typo, I hope.
Yeah, well, I assume so, because I know they're doing the Kiss Cruise again, but sounds like they're wrapping shit up.
Oh, this whole thing is amazing to me. I mean, this is like the ultimate breakup. Imagine if you were about to break up with a girl, and then before you did it, what you did is you said, I just trademark the phrase, fuck off and die. I quit. That's essentially what he just did. The end of the road, I trademarked it. We'll let you find out about it through my lawyers that I now have a phrase. I have a phrase saying I'm leaving you forever.
You're getting a smaller cabin on this year's cruise, bitch. You gotta you gotta fucking bunk with Tommy. Live to win till you die. But can I go into his next tweet? Because frankly, I enjoy this one a little bit better.
Okay, go ahead.
FYI. I wrote the song Every Beat of Your Heart for the Bob Ezrin Project, which became The Elder. Its transformation started when Lou Reed wrote a terrific lyric poem for it called A World Without Heroes. Bob put them together at Ultimate Classic Rock at Blabbermouth. Oh, oh yeah! Live to win till you
die. Can I tell you something?
Yeah, well, let's go back and just, I mean, because he did it again. He basically took any songwriting credit away from Gene for A World Without Heroes, a Gene song, which I believe he has songwriting credit on. And then he called The Elder a Bob Ezrin project.
Can I comment on that real quick?
Yeah, of course. What do you got?
Any episode that we do that I want to distance myself from, I'm going to refer to it as the Bacco project. Live to win till you die. What a crazy guy! The Bob Ezrin project?
You know, to really tie it together, though, it has to be a project that you didn't like the result of that was your idea that you asked me to do and then now want to blame me for.
That's it's the same thing. The guy has a lot of issues. I mean, between that book
Bob
and everything
Ezrin
like that,
project.
Saying he's explained things, he's just angry all day.
Yeah, so I was helping Bob Ezrin out. You know, we were kind of repaneling his house, and so we decided to call it The Elder. Live to win till you
die. I was doing the woodwork, and I was knocking on his door, and he took a picture and said it was doing the Elder. Live to win
till you die. Oh, God, the Bob Ezrin Home Improvement Project, known as The Elder.
Oh, that's perfect. That
you
was actually
Bob
the original.
Should we take out the sink?
That was actually the first name of the Home Depot, but they shortened it.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, that's all I got.
I think we're done. I think we're done.
We're done. I mean, this has been fun. I'm glad we took the time to do this and add a little levity to the karmic disaster that is your life right now. Live to win till you die. Rock's not dead.
It's two-fifths of a supergroup.
And you found it.
Well done.
something I could say to make you change your mind. Never thought I'd have to write this song. I was wrong. When I see you on the streets, I see it in your eyes. Your love is gone. My love was wrong. Hope you find the things you said you need. I'm just dying here, cause it's not me. Do you think about me? Smile about me. I can't stand this pain without you. Did somebody steal your heart? Gives a smile and says to let you go. I don't know if I can be that strong. When you call me on the phone, it hurts to say goodbye. My friend is gone, 'cause my love was wrong. Hope you find the things you said you need. I've been crying here, 'cause it's not me. Do you think about me? Smile about me. I can't stand this pain without you. Did somebody steal your heart?
I like to hide contraband in my ass.
All right.
At Baker's, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in store. So you can save when you order during band practice or at the dog park or wherever. Start your cart with the Baker's app and save from wherever today. Baker's, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy five or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.